story about Jesus. It's a unique story, as it's one of few we have of him before his ministry, before his adulthood here. We have the prophecies, right, all pointing to his coming, and then we have his genealogy, where he came from, and we have his birth narrative. We also see him as a toddler escaping to Egypt with his family, and we have his ministry all the way to the cross. The only other thing we know about his life is this section this morning. We're going to approach it a little differently today. You may have already noticed there's no sections today. There's no Baptist three-point outline. I know that hits us hard, throws us off. We'll get through it. We're going to merely do a verse-by-verse look at Jesus as he travels with his family. Let's dive in. We started in Luke 2, verse 41. It says, "Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom." Now we've looked at this specific feast many, many times together. It's to remember the Jewish people being freed from Egypt, the plagues, and the Passover lamb, and all the events leading Israel out of slavery here. We learn here that Jesus and his family have this yearly routine, and we learn that Jesus is 12 during this one. Why this age? Seems specific, right? Well, a Jewish girl enters adulthood, sort of, at 12, and then, but a Jewish boy is at 13, so that's not it. Though there are some that believe that this, the way his birth aligned, that he may have turned 13 during this week, 12 to 13 here. What's interesting is that at age 12 was the age of discernment. There's this list of things through Jewishhood, and first at 5 you start learning the law, you're memorizing it. We looked at that last week from Deuteronomy, write it on your hearts. You're memorizing the law by age 5. By age 12 you're responsible for the law. So by age 12 you're responsible for upholding the law of God. And then at 13 you are expected to be studying. And that's the phylacteries and things that we looked at last week. That's interesting because of what happens later in our text here. But for now, know that this is the tradition of his family, as almost all of Jewish families, to travel to Jerusalem for this feast. Think about how your family travels. Does it go well? I hope so. Sometimes maybe not. Does a vacation still feel like a vacation at the end? Or do you need a vacation from the vacation? How many of you were there traveling together? This family was more than just Joseph and Mary and Jesus. We know there are other children. James, our New Testament author, is one of them. Plus, they would have traveled in a caravan of sorts, meaning this family, their family members, other family members, other friends, acquaintances, basically this whole Jewish community, whoever was going, would have traveled together. We're also not talking about a few hour car ride here. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? That's not what we're talking about. It's a 4-day walk. So the feast is a week, and the walk to and from would take about a week, and that tells us that our text here does not happen quickly. Moving on, verse 43. "And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it. But supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him." So now the story's changed a little bit here, right? Jesus is missing. A day journey here, returning home before they realize it, which makes it about 20 miles or so. I want to point out two things here. First, Jesus is not sinning here. That's not what's on display. This isn't some little mischievous Jesus running and hiding from his family. If that is what it was, There's many, many reasons that it isn't, but if that is what it was, then our faith in him would be in vain. Because it took the sinless Son of God to pay for us on that cross. So if not a sin, and it's not, not some kind of rebellion going on here like we would be doing, then what was it? We're not really told, are we? He was likely busy in the temple when they left and didn't know they were gone, or wherever the last place they were, didn't know they were gone and got to the temple instead. Also, this is not some kind of neglect by the parents here. They traveled in a large number of people, and the last time they saw him was probably held in their mind as the reason they were not concerned, just like we would do it. Like, well, the last time I saw him, they're on the swings, and then you go look, and well, they're either still there or they're not. That's what you're holding on to. They all left together, thought it included him. It has the feeling of Home Alone, right? That movie. We didn't know Home Alone stole their storyline from the Bible, did we? It's also a large travel group, which meaning the kids and the parents were often not together. Just think about it. If you had a choice to travel for 4 days with your parents or your cousins or your best friends, who are you choosing to travel with? It's not the parents. Likely what happened to them is what happens to all parents. Didn't notice their absence until you notice something about their absence, right? One of those things, it's too quiet. What are they up to? That's what you notice. Don't hear them anymore. Maybe it just got too loud. I better go check in and see what's going on. Or it's the same thing with pets. We have dogs. Our dogs have been on a couple of adventures here or there. And both times we knew exactly where they were until we didn't. Same thing here. Something like there's the cousin Jesus hangs around, but where is he? And then the search, and then the panic, and then the retracing their steps to Jerusalem we go. Before we move on, we need to touch on something. Mary and Joseph were parenting the only perfect child that has ever lived. The only one. I know you mothers out there think you have perfect kids, right? Especially when they're babies. Like, oh, look how beautiful, look how perfect, right? Jesus is the only perfect one. And the mothers in here actually know what I'm talking about. There's no rebellion going on. There's no back talk going on. I'm sure none of you have faced that. Always respectful, right? Because the Bible says obey your parents. So Jesus had to do it. Sinless. Completely normal kid, and yet without sin. We don't have a box for that because we know sin is from birth. It's an easy way to tell. Just look at the room with a couple of toddlers in it and they're trying to kill each other over one toy, right? Sin is there. Only perfect child. That's what Mary and Joseph were dealing with. And yet, they still messed up. They still had a hard time. Don't get yourself down because things have not been perfect. Because things have been hard. Realize that this fallen world is hard for all, and no one was perfect. And even raising Jesus did not go perfect. And instead look up to the one who promises to be there. Promises in like the Psalm 37:5, commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. Psalm 54:4, behold, God is my helper. The Lord is the upholder of my life. Psalm 121:1, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Also, Mary and Joseph were not looking for Jesus alone. They weren't getting through this issue alone. Stay connected with your friends. Stay connected with your family. Stay connected with your church. The church exists to glorify God and to spread and share the gospel message and to lift up one another. Too many parents are trying to walk their road alone, and it does not have to be this way. Lean in, stay engaged, help one another out along the way. Let's move on here. Where did they find Jesus? Verse 46. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. Jesus was in the temple. Probably the last place they were all together, or just the safest place he could be. Finding him, however, is not the important part of what we just read. Sitting among the teachers and teaching them. We said earlier he was 12. Have you met a lot of 12-year-olds that could teach the teacher? And the answer might be probably so, but was the teaching really anything that was actually correct was a different question entirely. I know a few 12-year-olds that teach all sorts of stuff, never stop talking, but is it worth hearing? We also need to remember what we said, that it was not until 13 that young men would even start studying Torah officially, studying under someone, going through the Jewish notes and things like that. He'd been preparing for it, memorizing Bible, but not studying under anyone until 13. That's interesting. Our text also doesn't stop there. The teachers were amazed by his understanding, his answers. Their whole life was Torah. Who are the teachers in the temple currently? Well, it's a festival, so you've got most of them, Pharisees, Sadducees, the religious elite. You've also got all the rabbis walking and traveling. Their whole life is Torah. Law and prophets memorized. Hold your Bibles in your hands. The entire first half of that book. They are amazed by the 12-year-old. How can this be? It is because Jesus was born and lives like any other boy, and yet is also the very Word of God. He is what they memorize. We can't wrap our minds around this. He has been in it and is it. Isaiah 40, verse 8, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Hebrews 4, 12, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. John 1, one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture. We're going to be there next week. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Amen. Do we understand who He is and what He has done for us? He's the only one to ever live that could actually come to the Father on His own. And the only reason he ever lived here was to make it so we could come to the Father. Amen. He who knew no sin took our sin upon him. By his words we were created, and by his wounds we are healed. Parents, no better reason to point your children to Jesus than this, to bring them to Sunday school class and to church, to be a part of this family. The reason is this Jesus we speak of here gave his life for them and wants their eternity to be secure with him. 12-year-old Jesus grows up, goes on to be our sinless Savior so that no other 12-year-old ever has to be lost in their sin again. It does not have to be that way. But this can only be true if your children actually know who he is, actually believe and follow him. Let this Mother's Day mark the day that we as a church step up for those children in our life. Maybe not your own, But kids, you know, and that you know, need Jesus. Bring them to Jesus. What are we looking in our text at here? His parents found him. What was their reaction? Verse 48. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress. Now we see how the parents react here. They too were astonished, it says. They too are amazed by what they see. But the response is a bit different here. Why have you treated us so? Great distress. Has anyone in here ever lost one of your children or grandchildren or somebody you're watching just for a few moments? Out of sight for a few moments? Grocery store? In that park? We know how the world is today, so our thoughts immediately go to the worst possible outcome. We also live in kind of a weird world, to be quite frank. The generations before mine grew up and you just trusted everyone, right? It's kind of a roller coaster world. My generation grew up and it was stranger danger, right? That's what they taught. Stranger danger. Don't get in the cars with strangers. Point out the strangers. I think that's a movie. Is that Kindergarten Cop? Stranger. That's what we grew up in. Now the world pays strangers to deliver their food. And to drive them around. Weird world. But we know what kind of mixed feeling it is here for Mary. To lose sight of them for a moment. To love them and hate them at the same time, right? To want to hug them and punish them at the same time. We know why they feel wronged in our text. We also know why Jesus responds the way he did. Verse 49. And he said to them, why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? What does this mean? Well, it could mean many things, right? Did you not know where you left me? Ouch. That would be our response. Forget about me, eh? Yeah. That's not the response of Jesus. Our Father's house would be a normal saying in this context. God the Father. Didn't you know this would be where I would be? This is where we came. This was our destination. It's the whole reason we're here. The temple, our people's connection to God and place of refuge. All of this would have been normal. This is also not what Jesus was saying. What was he saying to them at 12? Well, it doesn't say here specifically, but if we look later on in his ministry, here's what he says in John chapter 10. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. This is the reality that 12-year-old Jesus knew. We don't have a box for this. What did we know to be true at 12? Maybe some of you guys can remember when you were 12. I can barely remember when I was 12. What was true to me when I was 12? That would be 1995, so summer between 6th and 7th grade. Kentucky basketball was the greatest thing. So were the St. Louis Cardinals. Mesh shorts make good formal wear. And I was the greatest swimmer ever. Had to be. I was in the pool all the time. What was it for you at 12? For Jesus, it was that he and the Father are one. For Jesus, it's that he would one day seek and save the lost. He would one day die for his own parents. That he would one day die for you. Did you not know where I must be? This is what he said.
Let's see the end to our text here. Verse 50.
And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. His parents did not understand. That's acceptable. His disciples will also not understand. We do not fully understand. The next part is interesting. It says the Son of God was submissive. It actually says he goes down with them to Nazareth. From Jerusalem, all areas were down. It didn't matter north, south, east, west. Jerusalem was up on the hill. So everywhere you go from there is down. They go down to Nazareth. And he was submissive to them. It also says the Son of God was growing. Now we know this to be the case since he's still a boy, right? Naturally, he's growing. But it also says in wisdom. So the God of everything here is growing in wisdom. That hurts my brain. I don't know about yours. We know it to be true. A 12-year-old still has a lot to learn in this world we live in. And yet, this particular 12-year-old is also the God of all. Created the world we live in. Now this tells us something. It tells us that when Jesus took on flesh to dwell among us, he did so by coming like us in every way. Completely human, while also being completely God. We have a hard time holding that together. Fully man and fully God, and we praise God for this because it took a sinless man to stand in our place, the ultimate sacrificial lamb, and it took God to make this payment hold true. Died for us and defeated the grave for us. Amen for that. So Jesus grew up under his parents. Jesus gained the respect of the people around him and his Father in heaven. To the children and young adults in the room, you do not have a God that does not know what you're going through. Jesus had to grow up too. He faced things too. You don't face new things in this life you live. They're all made up, reinvented, new world, new technology, same old things. When he says, come to him and you'll find the answers and you will find the rest you seek. He says it knowing what you go through. He knows the paths that this life will lead you down, will offer to you. But more importantly, he knows that the path you need to be on. He knows it. And he knows it's him. Lean into him. Lean into his word. Lean into his family. The family of God. I want to close this morning by focusing on the women in the room. We do so with the last statement about Mary in our text. She treasured all these things in her heart. What was the all the things? Everything. Whether it was her pregnancy and all that was going on there, or his birth and all that happened there, whether it was raising him or this sight in the temple, or even the fact that he would be her Savior too. She treasured. If that isn't a statement that describes motherhood, then I don't know what does. Treasuring the moments in your heart. It also just describes all women in general. Mothers are not. If you don't have children, you still have kids in your life. Through other family or through your church, and you have still treasured these things in your heart. Maybe you're a woman struggling to raise children currently, or have already done so but still struggle with the worry for them. This is normal. The mother of the Son of God still had this. Still had struggles, had worries. Just like her, you need only to lean into what he has promised you. Pray for them and use your opportunities
that you have in their life to lead them well, and then leave the rest up to God. Maybe you're a woman in here this morning struggling with the loss of your own mother. 1 month, or 1 year, or 1 decade, time passed, does not matter. Your struggle is close and real to you. Take a moment this morning to realize that the Jesus we speak of paid for both of you as believers. Which means if both believers, then one day you will see one another again. Take heart. And then remember her the best way we can. How's that? By living not apart from her, but as her next generation, cutting a path for all to follow. A path that says, I know where I come from, and I know where I'm going, and I know my Savior, and He prepares a place for me one day. Follow me as I follow Him. Treasure those little ones in your life. Treasure the one who came to offer them life, Jesus. A mother's love will go far, but we all need Jesus. There are other struggles in our life, right? Maybe your mother hasn't passed, but she's just not in your life currently. Same thing. Look to Him. He knows the way. If you're struggling with something, that's okay. Bring it to your Father in heaven. Bring it to your friend in this room. Do not carry it alone today. If you've never known this love of Jesus, that's okay too. Let this Mother's Day mark the day that you came to know the Son of God. Your sin's glaringly obvious, and you know that you need a better way. Jesus is that better way, and the truth, and the life, and turning to Him connects you to heaven forever. Realize you're a sinner and turn from those things holding you back in this life and believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Nothing is more important in this world than where you place your faith. It means everything. Let it be Jesus this morning. Bring anything else at all as we sing. Happy Mother's Day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank You so much again for this morning. And we thank You for the mothers in our lives. Not just the mothers, the grandmothers, those women. All of those that have meant so much to us over the years, we thank You. And Father, above all, we thank You for Jesus. We thank You that we have Your Word as our guide, and we can see His life lived, and we can see His promises, and we can see what He asks of us today. To simply believe. Repent and believe in Him today. It's the most important message we'll ever hear, because everyone needs the gospel. All are sinners, and all need to be sinners saved. Help us take this with us as we leave today. Help it weigh upon our hearts and our very souls as we walk our paths during this life we live. That when we come in contact with others, we can't help but get to Jesus. Be with us all now as we leave here and go on our ways. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.